The book of Hebrews, chapter 13, as we continue our study in this book of the Word of God, our focus tonight will be on verses 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Father, we come now before the open word, and we pray that our minds and our hearts would be open. Take away, Lord, the distracting things that so often can be placed in our minds by the devil's temptation. Take away even legitimate things that come to our hearts at these critical times. Lord, help us, we ask, to devote our minds unto the Savior, that we might know the infilling of the Spirit of God, that we will have, Lord, that crystal clear message from the Savior, the Holy Spirit taking the things of Christ and writing them on our hearts. Please, Lord, cleanse us from our sin. Don't let anything hinder the reception of thy word in our hearts. Cleanse us beneath the precious blood of our Redeemer. Dear Lord, write this word upon our soul tonight, we pray. In Jesus' precious name we ask, amen. I want to speak to you tonight simply on this subject of the abiding Christ with his people. The abiding Christ with his people. Primarily, I want us to focus on those words of verse 5, though we will be looking at the content of the both verses, but that well-known phrase that says, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. About a week ago, I heard someone say, and it struck me rather unusually, that no matter how you read this text, whether forwards or backwards, it is the same thing. So look at the word again carefully, and we're going to read it backwards. Thee forsake, nor thee leave, never will I. And so, head on, or coming from another direction, the Lord Jesus is telling us the same thing. And what has been marked by many a pastor before is the significance of those things that are negatively stated here. And there are technically five of them in this little phrase where the Lord says, I will not, never leave thee, nor forsake thee. I think that's a precious truth for us today, because for the child of God to dwell much upon the abiding Christ in our life, it will help us, it will strengthen us, it will carry us forward in the purpose that God has for us in our life. Henry Francis Light, the hymn writer that wrote that hymn, Abide with Me, Fast Falls the Eventide. And though he was using a different context and verse to write that hymn, it was Luke chapter 24, as the two were on the road to Emmaus, and they bid the Lord Jesus to abide with them, for the night was soon coming. The sun was going down. And their hearts had so been burning within them from what they had heard the Lord Jesus saying that they wanted him to abide with them. Well, of course they would. But is that not the same thing that you say, believer, in your heart tonight? Do you not say, Lord, abide with me? Let me be conscious of your presence with me continually. Let nothing be a distraction to me. Let no temptation, let no sin for sure, come into my life that's going to cause me to be distant from knowing the abiding presence of the Savior. If you were to look back at the beginning of chapter 12 of Hebrews, we find there that the prayer is, let us lay aside every weight, verse 1, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, because the apostle knew very well that if sin abides in us, if we have unconfessed sin, that we will be distant from knowing the abiding presence of the Savior in our life. Our fellowship will be hindered. And so we desire tonight, we want to know all that we can know about the abiding presence of the Lord Jesus. But you will notice something about this. In verse 5 it says, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So the author of the book of Hebrews is taking us back to other scriptures. And indeed the he there, I believe, is God. He is saying, the Lord hath said. But your question might be asked, where did the Lord say this in the Old Testament? And I want us to think a little bit about that tonight. Turn with me back to Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1. In this account in Genesis 15 and verse 1, it is a word that is given to Abraham. In chapter 14, he has just completed a victory when Lot, his nephew, had been taken captive and all the goods that were in his family. And Abraham had armed the 318 servants that were in his house, and he went after and pursued after the kings that had taken Lot. And Abram, by God's strength and grace, recovered all and brought back Lot safely. The opening verse of chapter 15, it says, after these things. It's always significant to mark that time marker. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. What we're thinking about here, we're thinking about a promise that was given in the book of Hebrews, and a promise that stands the test of time. Because in Abram's situation here, where he could have feared reprisals from those kings or nations or peoples, because he was relatively a small person in a large land of heathens. And so as Abram received this word from the Lord, it was after those things, and God comes to speak to him, and he is virtually saying to him, Abraham, I am with you. Abraham, be not afraid. Abraham, you have nothing to fear from all of these enemies, because I am thy shield. I am the one who is surrounding you, the one who is protecting you from every enemy. And my dear friend, that promise that God gave to Abraham is a promise that has stood the test of time, for God has encircled and encamped around his people for generations. David said the very same thing, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. And so Abram had this as God was his great reward. What a promise. Ah, but that's just the beginning of where this verse in Hebrews finds its root in the Old Testament. Look with me also, please, over a few pages in chapter 26 of Genesis. Genesis 26 and verse 24. It says, "And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake." This is referring and talking to Isaac. Isaac, the son of Abraham. And what had happened was Isaac's servants had redug the wells that Abraham had dug, but the Philistines had filled them in. Water was so necessary in that arid climate. And so as Isaac's servants redug the wells, then they came along and someone else claimed them and said, "No, that belongs to us." And so they dug another well. And those people came along and said, no, that belongs to us. And they did it three times. But the third time, they called the well Rehoboth, because it says, "The Lord has made room for us in the place called Beersheba." And God came to his servant Isaac at that very important time in his life when perhaps he thought he was going to be extinguished. It was all going to be over for him. But then the Lord came and said, "I am with thee and will bless thee." A promise that has stood the test of time. But turn over a page to Genesis 28. Here is Isaac's son, Jacob. Jacob has fled now from his family because of fear of Esau, who was threatening to kill him. And he goes and arises towards Paddan Aram, and that's where God met him, at the place called Bethel. And notice verse 15. "For God said to him, And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." God met with his servant at the place called Bethel. And there, as he met with Jacob, what did Jacob learn? Jacob learned of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, his great Savior. If you just cast your eyes back to verse 12 of chapter 28, Jacob says, "And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it." What a tremendous picture, as God met with his servant there, and he was in that place, and the ladder was set up. And what did that speak of? Why, it spoke that Jacob met the Lord, and that was his salvation. And that's confirmed for us in John chapter 1, because there it talks about the Lord Jesus is indeed that very ladder that was set up toward heaven. The only way, friend, that you and I can get from earth to heaven is by the ladder of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it may be, friend, you're here tonight and you've heard the gospel message time and time before, but the Lord has spared you one more night to hear again the message of life and of truth and of hope, that there is hope only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the ladder that's going to allow you to get to heaven. You cannot go by any other way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And for Jacob, that day was the day of salvation when he saw and met with the Lord. But not only that, it was a day of preservation for him. For God said, "I am with thee. I will not forsake thee." So the promise in Hebrews, we are seeing is scattered throughout the Old Testament prophets and those patriarchs. And God was emphasizing that the abiding presence of the Lord Jesus, the abiding Christ, is a promise that stands the test of time. Oh, but we're not finished yet. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Here we move forward several hundreds of years, but God is still at work dealing with His people and giving comfort to those that need it. And as Moses now was saying farewell to the people and establishing that Joshua would take over, in verse 6 at the very end, we've already read it, but it says, "He will not fail thee," Moses says to Joshua. "He will not forsake thee." The Lord, verse 8, "He it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." What a promise this was to young Joshua. And yet God spoke it not directly to him, but He spoke it through Moses. So the Lord is saying to him again, I am going to be with you. I am going to carry my people through into the promised land. Turn over a couple of pages to the beginning of the book of Joshua in chapter 1. Because now Moses is dead. He is gone. They are getting ready to cross over the Jordan into this land. And now God speaks graciously and kindly right to Joshua himself. Look at verse 5. He said, "There shall not a man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." My, you can see a tremendous similarity in the wording, in the expressions that God is giving to His servants. And faithfully right through from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. It's coming through Moses. It's now through unto Joshua. And what a blessing it is for these people. But turn please over to Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." And God here speaks to the people Israel, and He speaks through His prophet. And my, what encouragement there is and there has been for God's people throughout generation to generation, taking this verse and building upon it. The Lord is saying with comfort to His people, "I am the abiding God, and I will be with you, and I will not forsake you, not for time and not for eternity." Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 8, God says to His prophet, "Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord." God has now called Jeremiah. He tells him He has called him from the womb. He has known him before he was even born. Jeremiah brings an argument to the Lord and says, "But I am a child, I cannot speak." The Lord says to him, "Say not thou art a child. For who is with man's mouth? Who will give you power to be able to speak?" And the Lord said, "Fear not their faces and the men who I'm going to send you to. I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord." Do you know that this phrase that I believe is contained in the book of Hebrews chapter 13, our text tonight. This phrase is repeated 5 times to the prophet in the book of Jeremiah. 5 times. 5 is the number of grace in the Bible. And how kind and gracious the Lord is and was to His servant as the Lord is to us. And so, from which I ask you, of these Old Testament verses and promises, was this one made and taken in the book of Hebrews? I say to you, from all of them. Because the prophet in Hebrews was saying, and he hath said, God hath spoken, and he has spoken this word of the abiding presence of the Lord, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Christian, tonight, let this word resonate in your mind. Let it reverberate inside your heart. Do not simply take these words and say, well, I've heard them before. I've read them on slogans that are on little calendars and things of that nature, which are a great blessing. But don't just say, I've heard this before. Abide on these words. Let the truth of them sink into your heart, because it is a promise spoken by God for you, and it's good for the test of time. And it will bring you right to the end of your days, whatever you're in right now, wherever you are with the Lord, whatever you're going through. Hear these words that are spoken by the Lord Himself. Would you please notice with me, secondly, that this is a promise that brings contentment to the heart of the Christian. Come back to Hebrews 13 and look at the opening words of verse 5. The Lord says, let your conversation be without covetousness. The word conversation is simply the word behavior. Let your behavior be without covetousness. For, he says, be content with such things as ye have. And so the promise that we are looking at tonight is a promise that brings contentment to the child of God. Why? Why is that? Because, my friend, to have Christ's promise is to have a correct view of life. The Lord says here not to entertain covetousness. Why is this mentioned here in this verse? Because the Lord, I believe, is impressing on the heart of us as His children that we are to always have the correct view of our life. And how will you have a correct view of this life? You will only have that, friend, if you are abiding in Christ, and if the Lord is abiding in you, and if His promise is in the forefront of your mind, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The Lord is saying to you, I want you to have the right look at this life. The ungodly, very often, have a very different view of this life. And the purpose in the hearts and minds of many is that I will accumulate and get as much as I can, for I will have happiness if I have more. The more stuff I have, the more things I have, the more money I have, these things will be good. And so the very subject of coveting, of desiring what someone else may have, or having an aspiration to have more and more for simply the fact of having it, it's not a good thing. But you know, we as Christians are tempted along the same line, because it's part of being human. And therefore, if you have been tempted along this line, if you haven't yet, well, look out, the devil will come to bring this to you in some way or another. But the Lord is saying to us, my promise to you tonight, this promise spoken of here, is a promise that will bring contentment to your life, because to have Christ's presence is to have that contentment. To have the Lord's presence, my dear friend, is to have the Lord Himself. And that's getting right to the heart of what this means. Because when the Savior said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee," what's He saying? He's saying, "My child, you don't have stuff in this world to think about, but you have Me. I am your possession. I am every..." If you have nothing of this world's goods, and that doesn't apply to too many of us, for we have much and plenty. But the Lord is saying, do not set your affection or your attention on those things. Why? Because you have Me as your eternal possession. You know, the Lord emphasized this to the priests. It tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 18, the Lord said to the Levites and the priests, He said to them, "I am their inheritance." That's right. The Levites and the priests, they had no material inheritance in the land of Canaan. So what the Lord was saying to His priests, He was saying, never mind the material inheritance, you have Me as your inheritance. What a little picture that was for the child of God. And what a picture it is for us developed here out of Hebrews chapter 13. Because if we possess the Lord, what are we before Him? But we are kings and priests unto God. We have been saved by His grace, and therefore the possession that you and I have is not material. Praise God, it is Him, Himself. We have the Lord. And because we have Him, we are to be content with Him. We are to be content with those things which He has provided Himself. That's sufficient for you, isn't it? Believer, is that not sufficient to have the Lord as your possession? Is there anything else you could add to what you have to make you more sufficient? Would you say, well, if I would have less of Christ and I had more of the world, would that make you happier? It's a very sad delusion that the devil comes to tempt us with continually. He would say to us, if only you had what that other person has. If only you had the liberty and the freedom to do what you wanted and to go where you wanted as someone else had, well, maybe you would be more content. The Lord is saying to us, no. Let your behavior be without covetousness, because we have the Savior as our abiding presence with us. And that, my friend, is sufficient. And it's not only sufficient, it's satisfying for us. Because there's nothing else and no one else that can satisfy the heart of the true Christian but the Lord Jesus. And the closer that we are drawn to Him, the more we see of His wonder and splendor, the more we are taken up with His person, the more satisfied that we will be. How many times have we seen it and experienced it in our own life? A child with a toy, and it's the greatest thing that they've ever received. For a few hours, maybe a few days, maybe even a few weeks. And we are just like that with the things that we have. We're all excited to begin with because everyone likes to get something that's new or something at least new to them. And we enjoy those things, but the luster wears off very quickly. But my friend, the luster never wears off the Savior. And the more we know of Him, the more we possess Him, the more we will find sufficiency in Him, the more we will be satisfied in the Lord. And, which leads me to my third point tonight, we are strengthened by His presence. Yes, this promise tonight is a promise that gives to us peace and security. Look what it says, coming back, please, to our verse, verse 6, the opening phrase. It says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, so that we may boldly say. There is confidence, you see, as we are abiding in the Lord, as we are drinking at that fountainhead, as we are finding our sufficiency and our fullness in Him, there is something of joy and peace and satisfaction. And there is for the child of God a confidence so that we can stand and boldly say, that's what the Lord is saying to us in this word. Don't be overcome by this world. But dwell upon this great truth and you will have the confidence that gives you a holy boldness. It will keep you going, my friend. It will keep you going when the times get tough for you. It will keep you going when you think everything else around you is deteriorating and falling away. It is your sight of the Savior and your eyes upon Him for that finished. The crown that we are aiming for, the Lord Himself. It will keep us going in confidence. We'll be able to boldly say, but it will be confidence of the Savior's help. He will strengthen us in the time of our need, for it tells us, the Lord is my helper. My, we could scour and search the Scriptures and find so many occasions where the Lord says, I will help you. I will strengthen you. I will lift you up. I will carry you forward. We were thinking about that verse last Wednesday evening in our prayer time. Psalm 119, verse 117. The Lord will hold me up and I shall be safe. Because the Lord strengthens us when we are weak. And as we find our sufficiency and our satisfaction in Him, we are empowered to go forward because He is the one who helps us along. And He takes our hand when we are too weak and He lifts us up and carries us on our way. Thank Him tonight, believer. But if you're not in Christ, you cannot call upon Him in that way. You cannot ask Him for help if you do not know Him. The prayer that the Lord hears from you as an unbeliever is this, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. It's the prayer of faith and salvation. And then, my dear friend, once you know the Lord and you are in Him, you've received Him by faith, then you can say, God is my helper. He will be my strength, my peace, and my security. And because we have confidence that the Lord, He is my safety. Look what it says at the last part of verse 6. And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Does this mean that man will never have the upper hand over the life of a Christian? No, it doesn't say that. Because there are so many examples. We've been praying tonight about persecution that is across the globe against those who are Christians. Those who are suffering and those who have no strength and power in themselves, and it seems the enemy has got the upper hand on them. But in those times, the believer knows the presence of the Lord Jesus, and they have a peace and security in Him. There are stories and accounts of martyrs that were making their way to be burned at the stake, making their way to be hung, drawn, and quartered, and they were praising God and singing unto Him because they knew Him. And He was their strength and their power. He was their safety. Because their sufficiency and their satisfaction and their security was all found in the Lord Himself. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Therefore, we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. We have no might nor strength in ourselves. We are weak individuals. But with Christ, Jesus, in the vessel of our lives, we are able to face the storm. We are able to go through that, and we know that He will be our strength and our stay and our security. May the Lord bless His word to your heart tonight. Let's please pray. As our heads are bowed tonight and our eyes are closed and the service is just about over, but I would encourage you, my friend, tonight, if you're here and you don't know the Lord, you're not a Christian, the Lord gives you another opportunity. And He is saying to you, repent and call upon Me. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is His promise, and we repeat it to you tonight. And we say, we are Your servants for Jesus' sake. Speak to me at the door when you're leaving, and we'll be happy to take any time with you that we can to show you from God's Word how you can know that you're saved. And believer, tonight, maybe it's a point of dedication of the life again to the Lord. Maybe you sensed yourself straying away. Maybe things have become overwhelming. Well, just give yourself afresh tonight to Him and say, Lord, take complete control of the vessel of my life. Father, bless this, Thy holy word, to every heart. And I pray, Father, that we might know the joy and peace in believing and of taking this word by faith, and Lord, to see what You are going to do in our lives. Help us, we pray, to dwell much upon the abiding presence of our Savior with us. Part us now in Thy fear, with Thy rich blessing. Go before us this week, we ask. Make the crooked ways straight and the rough places plain. And Lord, give us opportunities of being a witness for the Savior, even the joy of leading souls to Christ. Hear this, our prayer. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.